The following is an interview about the new book, The Bridge, which is an examination of depression, loneliness, and suicide. If these issues are or could be triggers, please be aware that we'll be talking about this for about the next 18 minutes. Stonewall Book Award-winning author Bill Konigsberg explores mental health and suicidal thoughts in his latest novel, in which he draws from his own experience as a young person battling mental health issues. In The Bridge, Aaron is a gay misfit struggling with depression and loneliness. Tilly is a Korean-American adoptee struggling to find out how she fits into her family. The book is The Bridge. It is published by Scholastic, and we welcome Bill Konigsberg to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. It's great to speak to you as well. Glad to be here.
Give us a sense of what brought you to this particular story, and give us a sense of what is the story you wanted to tell here.
You know, one of the things that really made me write The Bridge was the book and TV show 13 Reasons Why, which seemed to me to be the story of record right now about suicide. And there is, of course, this epidemic of suicide in the United States, especially among teenagers. And I like that book and I like the TV show, but I really began to feel that that was not a good place to start a conversation. And what I was seeing all around me in my family and in my community were stories of people ending their lives. And that's something that has been a part of my life. I had a suicide attempt in my 20s. It's something I haven't spent a lot of time talking about, and I felt like maybe it's time for me to put my hat in the ring and try to write something that would be helpful. So that's what I did with The Bridge.
So let's talk about the story here, which we meet Aaron and Tilly. They don't know each other, but they both show up at the George Washington Bridge at the same time. You basically want to explore the possible outcomes, one where Aaron jumps and Tilly doesn't, one where Tilly jumps and Aaron doesn't, one where they both jump, or one where neither of them jump. With those four possibilities, what did that allow you to explore, not only in allowing us to know more about these characters, but the relationship they ultimately have with one another?
Well, what I wanted to do by showing all four options was to explore something that I know when I've been depressed, I haven't thought that it existed. I have not thought that there were options. I know at my worst moments, it feels to me as if no one would care if I were alive or dead. And I know from talking to other people who have been suicidally depressed that that is also a thought that they have. So what I wanted to do was expose the lie, first of all. I wanted to show everything that could happen so that perhaps in a dark moment somebody might have the thought there is an option. But beyond that, it's really a way to show so much about these characters, and the fourth section in particular, where they both decide not to jump, is such an opportunity to show the importance of connection, because these are two characters who, when they finally meet in the fourth book, have very little in common, don't particularly like each other, but by connecting just a little bit at first and then more over time, they create this relationship that is life-saving for both of them. And I do think that really the answer to all of this is connection. That's what I've come to believe.
And that is really where we see the hope and the encouragement, and where having someone to talk to, especially someone who is in also a delicate place in their life, can be so helpful.
Absolutely. And you know, I feel like one of the problems with depression is that when I'm depressed, I should speak for myself, when I'm depressed, the last thing I want to do is to reach out or to have somebody reach out to me. But really, that's the answer. And so, you know, I'm constantly saying with this book, as I talk more and more about it, we have to figure out ways to get to stay another day, because all of our lives matter. You know, our lives matter here on Earth, and we're I want people to stay so that the miracle can happen the next day. And certainly connecting to another person and hearing them and being heard is the best thing for that.
Do you think I have dealt with depression? I have never been suicidal, but do you think it is, this is again, speaking to my experience, which is that people don't tend to understand depression or anxiety or panic if they have never experienced it. I mean, they can understand it, but they don't understand it fully, which is why I enjoyed and found the book so gratifying, was because it helps people understand. But it is difficult to grapple with if you have never felt that feeling.
Absolutely. And in fact, one reviewer, upon reading the book, her comment was one of complete misunderstanding. She was talking about why Aaron was on the bridge. And she said, you know, I wasn't very sympathetic because it didn't feel like enough had happened to him. And that's the problem, is that really when we're depressed, it's not necessarily situational. And it is really hard to understand that if you haven't felt it. So I really did want to get deep into the heads of each of these characters so that perhaps a close reading by somebody who hasn't felt that might begin to understand what that feels like. Because to me, I don't know if you relate to this, depression hurts. Like it's a pain in the chest. And I think for people who haven't experienced that, it's very hard to understand.
It very much hurts. Also, it doesn't have to be situational. It also doesn't have to be logical. I think so often when you're going through it, you're looking for logic, and often you're looking for the trigger. And that can be very elusive at times.
Absolutely. I have sometimes gotten to the point, as Aaron does in this book, where I think, am I faking? You know, what's happening here? I can't really understand what's happening.
Right.
And maybe I'm making it up. Of course, it's not made up. It's as real as anything else. It's just our brains not working the way perhaps they were meant to work. So absolutely.
Bill Konigsberg is the author of The Bridge. It is published by Scholastic, and he is our guest this morning. When you contemplated suicide, and as you talk to me now, you mentioned that you still deal with depression. So how were you able to have those moments where you got beyond the suicidal part and are dealing with the depression in other ways?
I think that sometimes the answer to this is simply to wait. And I've learned over time that I simply, when I'm feeling that feeling come on, first of all, knowledge is useful, to know that something is happening and to call it what it is, depression. Sometimes I say my brain is lying to me, telling me things that aren't true. But simply to wait and to say, okay, so I feel this way today. I know that, but maybe tomorrow I'll feel differently. So that's, you know, it's the best I can do at this point. I'm 50 years old and I'm still trying to figure out how to deal with this monster of depression.
Do you employ therapy and medicine?
I employ medicine. To this point, I have been in therapy in my life. Therapists at this point kind of nod if I go to see somebody and say, you know what you're talking about already. It's not something that I need anymore. I kind of understand my issues, but the medicine really is helpful, and I'm extraordinarily grateful that there are medicines I can take that can kind of take the bottom out a little bit, just keep me a little bit higher than that.
The book reminded me of this, that you know, so many people who have issues will eschew and try to push away medicine, and if they're on it, their goal is to get off of it, whereas it became apparent to me that, okay, but I need this to be able to deal with what I have, because whatever's going on right now is working. So let's stick with that, and I don't want to screw that up. That struck me in this book because you, at that, especially at this age of the characters you're writing about, they don't know what the options are.
Absolutely. I was in that situation when I was 18 years old, the situation Aaron found himself in, and I had no idea what medicine was, but what I really didn't like and what I resented about it was that people were categorizing what was going on in my brain. And I was thinking, but I'm an individual. You can't tell me that a pill that would work for Joe will work for me. But what you say is true. These medicines are life-saving.
In writing this book, it is something that you deal with, and you mention Aaron, of course, who is gay and struggling with depression and loneliness. Certainly, this is something very much that is a part and unfortunately all too common within the LGBTQ community, especially those who are adolescents. Is that something that we as a society and even, I mean, this is a good opener for it of a book like this, but can we as a society help to work on that, to make that easier for kids so they don't feel that loneliness?
I think that work is underway, and I think that for many, many years, it was the thing that bothered me the most, that even people who seem to believe that, lives matter were, casting a blind eye to this problem, that everybody saw the numbers. The Trevor Project has numbers. I don't have them in front of me, but that LGBTQ people suffer suicidal depression at a much higher rate. I think the work is underway. I think we're seeing more representation in the media. I think books are coming out that are helping kids feel less alone. And I think it's a process. So, that is what we're doing. The one thing I would say, one thing I was able to explore with this book that interested me, because I hadn't really thought about it before, was the difference between somebody feeling suicidal because they're gay and somebody who's feeling suicidal and they're gay, which I think is more Aaron's situation. It's more as though being gay impacts a lot of things about one's life, which plays a role in everything that happens to a person. But it isn't as though he's struggling with his sexuality, which is a totally different book. Does that make sense?
It certainly does. I do want to ask you about how you end the book. In the author's note, you talk about being on tour where you got reprimanded because you were speaking about suicide publicly, and a woman came to you and said that she felt it was irresponsible of you to talk about suicide to young LGBTQIA+ people, that basically saying that you could have done significant damage by doing so. You talk about it in that part of the book, but give us a sense of how you process that.
When that woman said that to me, it really was upsetting because I thought, of course, at first, oh, no, what if I did? And the last thing I want to do as an author and as a person is to cause harm. But I've done a lot of, work on myself. I've done a lot of talking with people who are in the industry, and my belief is different now. My belief is that we do need to talk about it, that the conversations are hard, and we certainly never want to end the conversations where there's anything alluring about suicide. That's very dangerous. But I think talking about the fact that a person feels this way and showing the options that a person might have so that they don't end their lives is really beneficial. That's my belief, and I'm going to just stick with it.
Well, and you were there as an ambassador for the Trevor Project. So, I mean, obviously you have aligned yourself with an organization that works on this all the time. You have a pretty good sense with your own experience as to what you're dealing with here.
Absolutely. And I you know, I knew the ways to talk about suicide. I had gone through some training, and I know how Trevor as an organization feels about this. But I also think, you know, that there are, you know, there are copycats in the world. And so it's something that we all have to be aware of when we're talking about difficult issues. I mean, an analogy is the issue of psychological of cutting that a lot of teens do. That's something that did take off once people started talking about cutting. It wasn't as big until we started speaking about it. So I certainly understand where the concern comes from, but I think this issue is different. I think taking it out of the darkness and really discussing is helping a lot more people who are actually in the dark on it than anything else.
You and I are just about the same age. You're about a year younger, but it does interest me because obviously social media plays a large role of what kids are dealing with now and what you and I dealt with as we were growing up.
Absolutely. I worry for kids about that, and that's why I have Tilly dealing with the social media Well, it is a social media problem. It's so important that, you know, we show kids what they're, you know, they want to see reflections of where they are, and that's what they're dealing with. I think the level of bullying online, I mean, you and I grew up in a time, it wasn't as if bullying was less, it was just right. That technology was different. So this is like a weapon, unfortunately, and it's weaponized against people, and the more we talk about it, the more we say this isn't okay, the better we'll do.
My final question to you, and the book is just beautiful. It had to have been difficult to write, I would think.
Yeah, it was pretty difficult. I really had to have a plan in place because I was afraid as I went deep into the characters that I'd go there too. And so I had a plan of action. I had people who I was ready to call. I had people who knew what I was writing so that they could, in a moment, be there for me. And I think support is important for all of us. So I had a couple days when I was writing where I had to just get into bed and pull the covers over my head. And otherwise, I made it through. I'll tell you, I'm glad I don't have to write it again.
I bet. But you also, not that you look for trouble, but you also eye subjects that are that are inducing of pain because they're the important ones to talk about.
I think that a writer is here to tell the truth. And for me, the truth is that the most powerful experiences in my life have been the most troubling ones. And so there are writers who write stories about joy, and I love that. I love to read that. But I am definitely looking for the white-hot moments that were the most challenging, and I'm trying to just tell the truth about those moments.
The name of the new novel is The Bridge. It is out from Scholastic. Bill Konigsberg is the author. Bill, I can't thank you enough for being with us and sharing with us this morning. It's a great pleasure, as always, to have you on the program.
Such a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is The Bridge. It is published by Scholastic. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.